Disaster and disaster preparedness are words that we have come to know very well. It seems that the news people, like prophets of old, are always talking about the disaster of the day or warning of the disaster to come. We are told of hurricanes, floods, fires, droughts, famines, and epidemics at home and abroad. Our local news media are sure to remind us whenever there is an earthquake anywhere in the world that the next big one is just around the corner, and we had better make sure we are prepared. There are also man-made disasters brought on by war and greed. Of course, if we run out of these large-scale disasters, there are always the personal disasters that we each must face in our own lives. So this year, the deacons decided to listen to these modern-day prophets and talk about what our response should be as Christians to disaster. After all, the Bible talks about disasters large and small from the time that Adam and Eve left the garden. We start with the family disaster of brother killing brother, and have major disasters of the great flood and the famine that Joseph helped the Pharaoh prepare for, to the man-made wars that destroyed cities and countries that the prophets talked of. We are told as deacons and Christians that we are to follow the example of Jesus Christ and practice a life of service, sympathy, and witness. This seems to be a good framework for understanding what our role should be in times of disaster. If we follow Christ's example, we will act as a compassionate servant, meeting relief needs and stepping in to assist when we find people that other public and private responders have left out of the process. We will offer sympathy and comfort by providing opportunity and places for disaster survivors to find fellowship, friendship, and to share their stories. We will witness to God's presence, reaffirming our belief in redemption, renewal, new life, and most importantly, hope. Wherever we see people who are hungry, who have lost everything in a time of disaster, whether personal, man-made, or natural, we are to help. We know that when we help others, it is Christ we are helping. In order to do this, we must prepare ourselves by thinking ahead, planning, and praying. Then, when we are called, we will be ready to care for our congregation and also for those who come here to Old First from our neighborhood and city. Let us remember that wherever we reach out in the name of Christ to serve, offer sympathy, and witness to God's love, God is present. Please join me in the first verse of Psalm 46 as it appears in the bulletin. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble.
Where is God in the time of disaster? Where are we in the time of disaster? In times of trouble, one may ask, where is God? I can't feel him, nor can I see him. It's easy to trust God when things are going good, but can we still trust God in times of trials, troubles, and tribulations? Difficult times happen to all of us at one time or another. I can recall one of my darkest days was during the loss of my father. I felt as if weapons of mass destruction was in full force with a raging storm and dark clouds. Yes, the rain began to pour. My father had died. I received a sermon for a divorce, and I found out that my daughter's father had been diagnosed with cancer. Like I said, the rain began to pour. I looked around me to see where God was. I didn't see another footstep behind me, but I realized God was carrying me because he was there with me all the time. Pain and loss are a part of life. God is my comforter, a very present help in the time of trouble. John 14, 26 through 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Logan and I want to say thanks to our church family who were there when we needed them most. Your thoughts, your prayers, and your kindness, your gift, and your everlasting love was so appreciated. It is a humbling experience when someone helps you when you need help the most. God sent us to this church with this great family. And again, we thank you. In all things, give thanks. I thank God for he strengthened me during the loss of my father so that I could be a stronger vessel for Logan, who recently lost her father. Do you see how God worked? See how good God is? He strengthened me so that I might be strength for her. And again, thank you. We felt the prayers of a praying church. From members to non-members, old firsts have stepped in to respond to many tragedies. For there are many reasons why disasters or troubled times occur. God is always there to bring good out of it when we invite him. If we understand the different possibilities of our suffering, it would help us to overcome our pain and see our faith grow in the midst of trouble. I would like to leave you four good reasons for difficult times. Number one, sometimes difficult things happen to us so that the glory and the power of God can be revealed in us and through us. When Jesus passed by a man who was born blind, his disciple asked him if the man's blindness was because he had sinned or because his parents had sinned. Jesus replied, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him." Number two, God uses difficult time to purify us. The Bible says, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. 1 Peter 4:1. This means our suffering during difficult times will burn sin and selfishness out of our lives. God allows suffering to happen so that we can learn to live for him and not ourselves. Number three, sometimes our mysteries is caused by God disciplining us. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scorns every son whom he receives. Hebrews 12:5-6. And number four, sometimes we are caught in the midst of the enemy's work. Your comfort is in knowing that as you praise God in the midst of your disaster, he will defeat the enemy and bring good out of it that you can't even imagine. He wants you to walk with him in faith as he leads you through it, and he would teach you to trust him in the midst of the raging storm. In closing, God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Pray without ceasing, rise above the pain in your life, and find the goodness, clarity, peace, and the light of the Lord, and watch your faith increase. I'm a living testimony. God will meet you in the midst of your pain, and not only perfect you, but increase the compassion for the suffering of others. Continue to live in the presence of the Lord, and his glory will be revealed in you. God is a very present help in a time of trouble. Again, Logan and I thank Old First Presbyterian Church family. And let us read together. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble.
Morning. I want to thank you for inviting me here to speak, and I want to especially thank Diane for her words that reminded me when we do go through times of trouble, we do ask, even if we don't want to admit it in the good times, where is God and what's he doing for us right now? It's been my honor and my pleasure to participate in two mission trips with Lakeside Presbyterian to work in Pearlington to help with Katrina disaster relief. And we think about all of the storms that have gone through that area and think, well, Katrina was so long ago. In fact, the damages are still being repaired to this day. And while many, many denominations have gone to the area and tried to help people and have done great work, I have to say PCUSA with PDA has gone, they've made a multi-year commitment, they've built camps, they have people year-round working, they organize the volunteers and send them to the homes of people who need help, who maybe can't afford anything. They take donations and buy the goods that are needed, drywall, screws, whatever are needed to help rebuild their homes and subsequently their lives. What we've done in our church, and I don't, it's more of a gift to me. I don't think of it so much as a service. It's truly a gift. We heard about Katrina, we all did, and our pastor heard about PDA and the camps, and he set it forth to us as a congregation and said, I'm interested in doing this, I want to know what people think. And I have to say, from a personal level, I was called, and I cannot think of a stronger word to use. I was sitting and I heard about it and I just thought, I have to go. This is something I'm supposed to do right now. I have to go. And I didn't think about what the conditions were like. I didn't think about, you know, where would I get time off of work and what would the work be. That's one thing I love about the trip is you don't have to have any skills. You don't have to know how to frame a wall or put up drywall. And if you do, that's great. And if you don't, people will teach you, or you will use your skills that you have. And the most important skill that anybody can offer, there's several actually. If you can't go to help people, you can pray for them and put that energy out there. And we had our congregation praying for us and for our families that we were working for. And for those of us who were fortunate enough to go, the most important thing we could do for the residents of Pearlington that we were helping was listen. And we didn't have to have the answers, and we didn't have to know how to fix everything that was physically wrong. And for those that were sick, we didn't have to know how to heal them. We just sat with them and we would listen, because they still have to tell their story. And listening after a disaster is such a powerful gift, and it's such an honor to share it with people. and I'm so glad that I could do it. So just as Diane had mentioned, you all are a very, very wonderful family and were a wonderful family to her because you listened, and that probably helped her more than any one of you realize. And that goes for everybody who ever encounters a disaster and survives through a disaster. Just listening is the most important gift you can give. So thinking of that and remembering that God is working through us to listen and to help and carrying us in those times of trouble, please read with me again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble.
In preparation for discussing with you the role of the church in a disaster, Maggie told me that the Church World Service has just come out with a new brochure discussing that very subject. And so, of course, I picked up the book. I think the main point that I thought was significant is that Church World Service points out that in a disaster, the church can serve as the presence of Jesus in the midst of the turmoil, which is the fact that there is that presence is reassuring to people that are struggling. The church can provide listening and counseling both to those in our own congregation and to those in the greater community. We need to look at preparation, I think, on two levels. One, on an organizational level, and we're already beginning to do that. The church has established a disaster planning committee, and they're looking at the various aspects of what needs to be done. And then we need to see if we can be helpful on a personal level. The deacons are concerned that the individuals in the congregation are safe and protected. And to that end, we are hoping to have a little brief meeting after this service down in the social hall. And one of our new members is going to join us. She is has taken a job with the city's Office of Emergency Services and has a brochure to remind us of things that we can do on an individual level. And we also have for you a wonderful gift. It's a teeny tiny flashlight. And I don't want you to downgrade the size of this instrument, because a flashlight is really necessary in a disaster and will be extremely useful to you. The deacons will contact their parish members to make sure that you did get this flashlight, and also to see if you have any questions about how to protect yourself and how to prepare for the disaster should it come. So hopefully this will help us, help the church play a useful role should we have this disaster that is unfortunately predicted. Join me, God is our refuge and strength, and very present time of trouble.